produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I'm standing on or basing on the scripture of 2 Timothy 3. And 16 and 17, which says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. If we don't believe that all scripture comes from God, then we've already lost the battle. There's no need for us to do this. It's the doctrine for reproof, for correction, and instruction on how to be righteous, that the man, meaning man, woman, boy, girl, of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished to do all good works. So with that being said, let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I love you. I adore you. Father God, I thank you, oh God, for this very time that you have predestined and preordained. For these, your people, to come together on this line, Father, to learn of your words, your will, and your way. Father God, my prayer is very simple. Speak to me, speak through me to these, your people. Give me the words you want to say to your people. And let their ears be open, their hearts be receptive for what you have for them today. Father God, assist us by your Holy Spirit. Give us spiritual discernment. Allow us to learn your words, your will, and your way. And may you receive all the glory for it, all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to jump right into it. Overview of the Old Testament. Overview of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, with all of those books, we know it's 66 books in the Bible, okay? And I'm saying it's as simple as I know how. Some of you may say, now, Rev, you know we know that. I know, but we're saying that we have people that called in that are teenagers. So I have to make sure to say everything I need to say. We're going to try to reach every age group, okay? The Bible, one Bible, broken down into two parts, Old and New Testament. The entire Old Testament really falls under two different categories. And for all of y'all that's on the video line, feel free to screenshot, do anything that you want to do to these notes, share it, screenshot it, do anything in the comments. If you leave your email address, I will email you the notes when we finish. Amen. The gospel is free. You will not get a Cash App at the end of any of my lessons. You will not get a PayPal prompt at the end of any of my lessons. The gospel is free, period. End of story. The entire Old Testament is broken down really into two sections. And that is God's dealing with mankind generally and God's dealing with Israel specifically. With mankind and with Israel. So Genesis 1 through Genesis 11 is God's dealing with mankind as a whole, everybody. Then Genesis 12 through 50 and throughout the Old Testament deals with God's dealing of Israel, specifically themselves. So when you are reading the Bible, you have to keep certain things in mind. You have to keep in mind whose God is dealing with as you are reading. So 1 through 11 chapter 1 through 11, God's dealing with mankind. We know that that's the section where we have the creation. The creation, 6 days of creation, 1 day of rest. We have the fall of man, which of course the creation brought about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell. Then the flood of Noah. Then the, you know, the great flood. Then the Tower of Babel. Major events in chapter 1 through 11. If you get your mind wrapped around that, you got it. Now, we're going to go through each chapter next session. Next session will be that right there specifically, Genesis 1 through 11. We're going to talk about the creation. We're going to talk about the fall of man. Brothers, I got y'all have heard me say this before. Stop that theory that sin entered into the earth because Eve sinned. It's not the truth. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. These are the things we're going to talk about. Eve was deceived, but Adam disobeyed. So let me just give you a little tidbit of what we're going to hit next week just to bring you back in. So guys, get off your high horse, blaming Eve. It wasn't Eve, okay? It was Adam that caused about the sin that entered into this world. One man caused the sin, so one man had to take the sacrifice for the sin, which is Christ Jesus. Eve was deceived. Adam was right there. We're going to talk about that later. So to wipe away that sin, and of course, sin starts matriculating through the world. Now you got Cain and Abel, okay? You got Cain and Abel. Let me pause for a second to tell you this. We don't like, when we're studying the Bible, to look at the bloodlines in the Bible. What everybody skips in the Bible is all the begets. He begat him, and he begat her, and her begat him, and this is the father of his father. We skip that whole section. But let me tell you something very, very plain. That is one of the major ways for you to understand what is going on in the Bible. And it is also one of the major ways that we authenticate the Bible. All these other religions cannot be authenticated. God specifically put genealogy in the Bible so that people can go back, historians can say, oh, the Bible isn't real. Okay, well then the historians do their study and find every single aspect of the Bible is historically correct. You have archaeologists that say the Bible isn't real. They go and do another finding and another excavation, and all of a sudden, what do they find? The places, the time periods, and all of this is 100% correct that's listed in the Bible. Scientists do the same thing. Every time they try to prove the Bible is incorrect, scientists turn around actually authenticating the Bible. Now, let me say this. It's just a tidbit. Our problem is that we don't see ourselves in the Bible. One thing you must know about Reverend Corey, I believe every word in this Bible is true. I do not believe the nonsense that people want to say that white people have taught us to, we are enslaved by the Bible, we're enslaved, they use that for this and that. There are the most rural, most remote places in Africa that has never seen a white man before know of the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So we can't use that. How we were deceived was we were made to believe that we were somebody else besides what the Bible says. That's where the deception came in. The Bible is true. We just have to look at it from the lens that we are the people that are being discussed in the Bible. So I will premise that by telling you, when I'm teaching, I am teaching from the standpoint that we are the chosen people. Now, I'm getting off track, but I need to go here. In this day and age, we see so many people getting down, getting depressed with all the racism, with all the killings, with all the brutality, with everything that we see in our world today. why is it that our race has to put up with everything that we see? Every answer in this world today, you can find every problem in this world today, you can find the answer for that problem in your Bible. Follow my young people that's listening in. Go read Deuteronomy chapter 28. That answers your question of why Black people are being persecuted in America and around the world for that matter. People of color, read chapter 28. The first half of the chapter deals with the blessings if the people obey. The second half of it is what I'm drawing your attention to, is the cursings if they do not. When you read that, then you come back and tell me any group of people on the face of this earth that fits that description in chapter 28. And the only people that you will be able to say that fits that description is Black people of today. So if anyone asks me, how can I say we are the chosen people? Go to Deuteronomy 28 and it can be proven right there. Amen, amen. So we move from the creation to the fall of man when sin entered into the world. Then God only wanted to wipe away the sin of the world. So not mankind itself, but the sin that lies within mankind. So he found one, only one that was righteous, and he found Noah. So then he saved Noah and his family. Noah was obedient to build an ark. We know that story, but we're going to go over it when we do Genesis. But immediately after the story of the flood, you get into the Tower of Babel. Why am I hanging my hat right here for a second? I will show you next week where all of the false religion, all of the pagan religion, and all this satanic worshiping came into existence. I will show you that it centers around the Tower of Babel. We remember the Tower of Babel. They tried to build a tower to, most theologians say the reason was to build it high enough to reach the heavens, okay? Well, that's a good point. Also, the underlying theme that I will show you is that they was trying to build a tower high enough to where if God went to flood the earth again, they would be saved. So that's most things that most people don't bring out in the teaching. But those were the reasons for the tower. So when God saw that, God said, I will confuse your language. We know about that. I'm not going to deal with this too much because we're going to deal with that next week. Okay. I will confuse your language. When I will confuse your language, because I told you the commandment was go be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth after the flood. Okay, when they did not do that, he confused their language. This is not speaking in tongues. There's nothing to do with that. This is where original languages or different languages came from. It is also where different races formed once they migrated to other areas. So you have different languages, you have different races. This is where that started. But this is so very important because here's what I want you to remember. Israel is very, God's chosen people is very, very, very small. And they are surrounded by millions of pagan worshiping people. Keep that in your brain as you're reading the first part of the Old Testament. So now let's move on. That's God's dealing with mankind. As a whole, creation, the fall of man, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. Okay. Once you get to chapter 12, it takes a distinct turn to God's dealing with Israel themselves. And he does that throughout the rest of the Old Testament. Everybody else is just innocent bystanders or collateral damage. Okay. He's using everybody else to form and to shape what he needs. And that is his nation. So if you think about it, All of this was because of the sin entered into the world at the fall of man. So here we have now that God has to raise up. He has to raise up a leader. So now all of a sudden you have Abraham, which Abraham is a descendant of who? Noah. And we always, always have to watch our bloodlines. Never lose sight of what bloodline the person you're reading about is from. When you want to find that out, just Google it or get you a Bible with charts in it, and it will show you that. Don't skip that part. Let me give you a little insight. Cain, Abel. Cain committed the first murder. Canaanites came from his line. That's the evil line, okay? Most of the evil things you see comes from that line. God used the other line to matriculate through the godly line. So now here you had Noah. Abram or Abraham comes from Noah's line. Now, here's another misnomer, and I'm going to be throwing the things in as we go. Noah, we know, what are the three sons? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? We say Japheth, but really it's Japheth. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? Okay. Ham can be traced that all of the ungodly lines matriculate through Ham, the ungodly evil lines. Shem is where the godly lines come through. You've probably heard somebody say, black people come from Ham. It's not the truth, and it's the farthest from it. The devil is a lie, okay? It's not the truth. Shem is where our line comes from, but we'll talk about all that later. So you have to watch the bloodlines in the Bible, and you have to watch the covenants in the Bible. When you are reading, make sure you know who you are reading about. Make sure what era you are in. Make sure the bloodline. And make sure if this is to fulfill a covenant, a promise, or something like that. Let me explain why. We move to Abraham is not selected as the leader. We all remember Abraham, right? Okay, we know Abraham and Sarah, right? We know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his sons. We know Jacob, then name changed, just like the other names will change, Israel. Now we know that the 12 tribes of Israel came from that line, okay? Let's remember that. The 12 tribes of Israel came from that line, okay? The Abrahamic covenant was established. God's promise to Abraham. When we talk about why I entered into covenant with this person, you entered into promise. You made a promise to that person. A covenant is a divine promise, a godly promise. So we need to watch that word, okay? God established a covenant. It was, if you can see on your screen, let me blow this up for you. Let me do it a little better. Let me blow this up for you. It is eternal covenant, first of all. Lasting forever, it will not change. When you're looking at a covenant, some covenants are eternal, some are not. Some covenants are conditional, some are not. The Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with Abraham, is eternal. It will last throughout time. Is unconditional. So no matter what the people did, God's promise would not change. His promise would not change. So in this case, the covenant was made with Abraham. And we remember how that goes, right? I will make you great. I will make you into a great nation. I will make your name great. Okay? The great nation that he spoke of was the nation of Israel. It would be formed directly through the loins of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's name changed to Israel, the nation of Israel. You got to be able to think through that bloodline and you can see that whole section come to fruition. Okay. But here's what I need you to understand. I'm right here. In order to form a nation, three elements are required. You cannot have a nation if one of these are missing. And when you matriculate through the Old Testament, you can see for yourself, after I bring this to your attention, what God was doing. The three elements is people, land, and law. If you don't have those three, you cannot have a nation. So let's get to it. We remember the population of Israel was about 75 people by the end of Genesis. But then, by the beginning of Exodus, they had ballooned up to 2 million people. From 75 to 2 million. What was God doing? When you read all of that, end of Genesis, beginning of Exodus, say to yourself, God is forming the first element of his nation. He is forming his people. So when they reach that number, when they reach that stature, now the people element of the nation was complete. So only one third was done. So, okay, well, why was the people growing? Oh, why? Well, because of Abrahamic covenant. He told them it would be, he would make them to a great nation. They could not be counted, could not be numbered. All of this. He had to make the nation great. He had to swell it. He had to grow it. But in order for him to do that, he had to protect them. Well, how do you protect 75 people around tens of hundreds of all these other nations that want to devour them? Well, you pick one, you let them capture or enslave or take care of, and literally without knowing it, they're protecting. That's where you get the story of Egypt. That's where you get them being in slavery in Egypt. God needed to do one thing. He needed to protect his little baby nation of 75 people and let Egypt, which was the biggest, the greatest nation of that time, he needed Egypt to protect them and provide food, water, and shelter for these 75 people until they grew into a great nation. So if you know that, then you know all the purpose leading up until that point. Now, of course, you know the story of Joseph and how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Why? So that he could go to Egypt. Why? So that he could make a way for his brothers, for his father to come back. Why? So that the nation of Israel could go to Egypt. Why? So that they could be protected. It's just that simple. He was forming and protecting his people, which is the first element of the nation. Okay, so we got that ready. Okay, we got that together. The people are formed. So now you move from the Abrahamic covenant to Mosaic law. First element for a nation is the people. Second element for the nation is the law. We all know if we don't have any laws in this nation, what the problem is going to be. Okay, we already see these people rioting right now, you know, disregarding the law. Imagine if there was no law. Well, God knew that. So Israel needed a code of laws. So enslaved to Egypt between Genesis and Exodus is what I said. God used Moses. Okay, now we're moving from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We're moving 12 tribes. We're moving. All of that is into play. Now he raises up Moses. He needed somebody to lead the people would be set free. We know, and of course, we will talk about the plagues. We will talk about all of those things. When you see those plagues, each one of those plagues was specifically to discount one of the gods that they was worshiping in the area at the time. We will talk about that, just to give you a little tidbit. So to set the people free, Moses was called. We know how that happened. They came from Pharaoh. We will talk about that. Okay. They came out of Egypt, went to Mount Sinai. He gave the Constitution, as we know, the commandments. Yes, it was way more than 10 of them, okay? I think it was like totaling number 365, meaning several hundred of what you could do, several hundred of what you could not do. I'm just saying that because I can't remember the exact number. So he gave all that at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, they built a tabernacle to honor God. They built the Ark of the Covenant and put the tables or laws inside of that covenant so that the tabernacle could move. It was mobile. That was their church, their tabernacle. It could move and be mobile with them everywhere that they go. Why? Because God always wanted to reside with his people. Always. But because of sin, he could not reside like he wanted to. Now, what happened? The second element is fulfilled. Now you have the law element of the nation is complete. Two-thirds are completed now. We got the people, we got the law. Now what do we need? We gotta have some land. Everybody wants some land. I'm still looking for my 40 acres right now. So, and my mule, as a matter of fact. So the law element is complete. So you know what's coming next, the promised land. We all heard about the promised land, okay? They left Sinai to possess the land. Now, here is the theme throughout the entire Old Testament. The people disobeyed. Time after time after time, the people disobeyed. After providing for them, after bringing them out of slavery in Egypt, after providing every meal for them, manna in the desert, all those things that we read about in the Bible, they continually disobeyed. So we know they went to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So we know Moses even had an incident that he disobeyed God one time. So because of that, God had to be just, had to be faithful. He had to punish Moses. So he allowed Moses to lead the people to Canaan, to the east side of the Jordan, but he did not allow Moses to cross over. He allowed for him to see it, but not to cross over. So what did he have to do? He had to raise up another leader in order for them to go into Canaan. So the next major person that you read about is Joshua. And yes, there's a lot of people of great importance in between the two, but it would take me 2 hours to give you that overview. We can catch that when we're doing chapter by chapter. So God replaced Moses with Joshua to lead the nation. Joshua leads Israel across Jordan into Canaan itself. After that, God told them specifically to conquer every single thing and to eliminate every single thing in the land because he did not want them intermingling with the pagan nations and the Satan worshiping, evil worshiping nations. So from 5 to 7 years after crossing the Jordan, they were in war to conquer Canaan. And it was against the Canaanites, which is the line of Cain. So the line of Shem is battling against the line of Ham at this point. So now, what do we have? When they conquered Canaan, now the glorious day happens to where they now are an official nation. They have the people, not they. God has the people. God has the law that he established. God had the land. They conquered. everything's supposed to stop, right? There we live happily, happily ever after. But what happened? They disobeyed again. The nation is formed. God's plan is complete. But they disobeyed again. So during that time, you see the dividing of the 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes were supposed to spread themselves across the whole land and finish what they had started and finish wiping out every single Canaanite that they saw. They did not do it. They was commanded not to marry anybody but the people within their own tribes and not to enter into any treaties with any Canaanites. But what did our people do? What did our people do? They disobeyed again. Time after time after time, they were blessed. Time after time after time, they disobeyed. Why do we see what we're seeing in the world today? Because our people disobeyed. Moving right along. Now, you got Joshua was the leader. Now Joshua died. Now this brings us into a new section of the national rulers now. Now you have all these rulers that we start reading about. God did not replace Joshua with a new leader because God's theory, well, God's purpose was that after he formed and when I said rulers, I mean the kings that will come in a little while that I'm going to speak of. Not right now, but the kings will come that I'm going to speak of in a couple of seconds. God wanted his nation to listen to his voice and his voice alone. So you have an era now of theocracy. So when you are reading this part of the Bible, understand that you're reading in the era of theocracy, which is defined as God ruling. God wanted his people to listen to his voice. He wanted his people to have the laws in front of them and obey the laws like they're supposed to. So he had priests that would interpret the law for them. They would hear from him and enforce the law. He would enforce those laws to the people and make sure everything was going as planned. And Judges records more than 300 years of the theocracy era. But what happened? They disobey again. So that brings up, when you're reading in the Bible, people, you see a distinct pattern. That pattern is called the cycle of Judges. Now let me scroll and let me show you something. Now, this is the cycle of Judges. When you're reading the Old Testament, this is how it flows. Okay? Look at number one right here. The people reject. Israel rejects God and turns to serve false gods. Why were there these false gods? Because they didn't go throughout the Canaan and throughout the land and eliminate all these Canaanites serving these false gods. They intermarried, they mixed in, they took on some of their beliefs. So what happened? They rejected God because they're serving false gods. You can find that Judges 2, 11 and 13. Let's move on. We have anger. Israel's idolatry provokes God to anger. Next part of the cycle, oppression. God hands Israel, hands them over to the oppression of her enemies to teach them a lesson. Oppression moves right along. Oh, now I'm sad now. Now I'm sorry. Now I repent. Stage four is repentance. Israel repents and cries out to God for mercy. So what happens? Rescue. God raises up a judge to rescue Israel from her enemies. They're oppressed. They repent. Why? God's still merciful. He's still gracious. He still has to honor the Abrahamic covenant. He still has to honor his covenant. Why is he letting them constantly do this? Because of his covenant. God raises up a judge to rescue Israel from our enemies. The glorious day, they return. But then the judge dies. And what does Israel do? They return right back to idolatry. So rejection brings God's anger. He allows them to be oppressed. They repent. God raises up a judge to rescue them. The judge cries out to God and prays to him, asks for his repentance. God restores them. The judge dies. They return back to idolatry, and you get right back to rejection. This cycle right here tells you everything you need to know about the flow of the Old Testament. Because everything you see in the Old Testament follows this guideline to a T. This is what they did over and over and over again. So now, I hope everybody's still with me right now. So now, the cycle of judges is where we ended off. So now what does Israel do? They slap God in the face and say, I want a new king. Everybody else got a king that we were supposed to destroy, but everybody else got a king. I want a king. We know that story. They wanted Saul because he looked good. You know, he was big and burly like JR, you know, so I had to put that in. So he looked like a king. So they called him up to be the king. It's not who God wanted, but he gave them what they wanted, okay? We know how that worked out. He ended up calling David as a king. We knew that. Okay, we'll get into that in that part of the book, okay? Now we have kings. So instead of them listening to God, theocracy, God ruling, they want to listen to a king. Now you're in a different era. You're in the era of monarchy. So when you're reading your Bible, know what era you are in. You are now in the era of monarchy, king ruling instead of God ruling. So David becomes the second king of Israel. And then God established, no matter what David did, great things he's seeing. God established the Davidic covenant. Okay, here comes another covenant. There was also another covenant sprinkled in there, which most people overlook, and that is the Noahic covenant, the covenant that he established with Noah. Let me digress a minute. That covenant stated that you remember that scripture that says, I will not destroy the earth by flood again, but it would be by fire next time? That was to the covenant with Noah saying, I won't do this again. This saddens my heart. I won't do this again. That was the covenant he made with Noah. He has not wiped off the earth with a flood again. So, yeah, we had that great flood of Baton Rouge, but that was nothing compared to the great flood. So the major flood of the whole earth. So he established the Davidic covenant. What did that say? That said, no matter what type of king you are, I'm not going to let you mess this thing up for me. That's what God was saying. And I'm trying to put this in the simplest form possible so every age group can get it. I'm not going to let your sin mess up my plan. So I'm going to promise and make a covenant with you that you will always have a king to sit on the throne from your lineage, from your line. Oh, there we go with that bloodline again. Now, what do we say now? Thy son of David. Thy line of Judah. That's the Davidic covenant. That is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, Yeshua. That's who that is. The Davidic covenant established that. Watch your bloodlines. So next, after David, we have Solomon. And we're almost finished. I got 7:49. Good, 10 minutes. So now, after Solomon, after David, you have Solomon. So Solomon, David's son, becomes king number three after David's death. Solomon was the last king to rule over all the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So now you got your history together. You got Saul, you got David, you got Solomon, you got the 12 tribes. Solomon was the last one, the last, you're in the monarchy, not theocracy, you're in monarchy. And now Solomon was the last king to rule over all 12. Now you move to a section, the divided nation. Here we go again with this sin, with this not wanting this, not wanting to listen to God. God judged Solomon's sin by dividing the nation into two parts. And Israel rejected Solomon's son. You remember Rehoboam? Solomon's son, they rejected him as king. So the one nation divided into two. Now, did God ever want his nation to be divided into two? No way, shape, form, or fashion. God wanted all of that work. Think about it. All of that work that he did with the people, the land, the law, the land, all of that, they're still disobedient and they break off into two tribes, into two distinct nations instead of one nation. And that saddened God's heart to the fullest. So now you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So I said two nations, let's say two kingdoms to be doctrinally correct. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You got 10 tribes in the north. You got two tribes in the south. Now they're called Israel and Judah. David family ruled the southern kingdom, thy line of Judah, okay? All of it is the nation of Israel, and this, some people get tripped up with this, so let me say this twice. Because they say, well, no, that wasn't Israel because Israel divided. No. It was all the nation of Israel. It was just divided as the kingdom, which was called Israel, because the vast majority, 10 tribes, stuck together. Judah, as it was called, was the southern kingdom, which was only two tribes. And just for your knowledge, that was Benjamin and Simeon. And David's family ruled that. So what was the Davidic covenant? You will always have a king to sit on the throne that comes from your lineage. So Jesus Christ, that Lion of Judah, Southern Kingdom, Judah. If you think about it this way, as you're reading, everything just makes sense. And it took a lot of studying, a lot of reading, a lot of commentaries, a lot of research to be able to just give you a simple bullet point detailed list so that every age group it can make sense to. If you're understanding this, and this is simple as I can put it, you can understand the entire Old Testament. So now, let me tell you something about God. God is just, God is honorable, and he honors his word. It would not be right for he to bless us when we do well and not punish us when we do wrong. He would not be a just God. He would be a one-sided God. So out of all of this disobedience, punishment had to come. So the nation divided with the two kingdoms, northern and southern. Now, the northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyria. The southern kingdom was captured by Babylon. I use two different words there for a reason, if you caught it. Northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyria. Now, there were survivors, but the kingdom itself was destroyed. Southern kingdom was not destroyed at that time. They were captured by Babylon. They lived in captivity for about 70 years. So that's the story of the divided nation and how they got divided. Lastly, you have the partial restoration. God restored many of them that was in captivity after those 70 years. He restored many of them to their own land of Canaan. What you see all that fighting in the Middle East over there, Canaan is modern day Israel, modern day Palestine, okay? They're still fighting over the promised land. It's their fault, or everyone's fault, because we would have stayed in the land if we were obedient. So moving right along. God restored many of them to their own land. So the books of Ezra and Nehemiah is 150 years of Judah's restoration. Now the story of the Old Testament closes with that. Partial restoration. Now, did they disobey again? Uh-huh. Sure did. They most definitely did. Then you have 400 years of silence. Was history happening with that 400 years? Yes, it was. But the Old Testament ended there because the next major movement of the Bible is the birth of Yeshua, the birth of Jesus Christ, as we call it. If you hear me say Yeshua, Jesus is a translated name. It went from, as you see, Assyria and Babylon and Hebrew and Greek and Latin. That's where we get the translation word Jesus. Don't let that throw you. If you say Jesus, I understand that. I say it. Hebrew is Yahshua. God's name, Hebrew, Yahweh, Yah, some people say, or Yahweh. We say hallelujah, God's highest praise, which is halle, praise, lu, which is ye, praise ye, Yah, which is praise to God, or praise Yah or Yahweh. So don't let that trip you. I will say the Most High. I will say Yahweh. I will say Yahshua. Yahshua is the name of Jesus. Yahweh or Yah is God. Don't let that throw you. That's the original Hebrew. Okay? Now, give you a little secret. Tell you what I believe. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, restore their land. Well, if my people that are called by my name. So I'm a firm believer that we have to get into Yahweh, Yahshua, and remembering that that's the original. So just keep that in mind. Just a little tidbit. That was for free. That was a little extra. I'm not charging you for that. So I'm going to close with another little tidbit, okay? Do not think that the Bible that you have in your hand is written in chronological order. It is not. It is expected for you to look at the times, the dates, and to set it up. The laws of Moses, the books of Moses, look over here, I'm trying to blow up this on this side. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is a chronological grouping. But actually, they don't flow chronologically one after the other. The time period of Job is happening during the same time period of Genesis. The time period of Leviticus is happening the same time period of Exodus. The same time period of Deuteronomy is happening the same time period of Numbers. Always remember what time period you are reading and how it flows throughout the Bible. So I just wanted to make sure to mention that to you. Always look at the time it was written and who wrote it Oh, let me make sure to say this. When you're reading your Bible, always look at who wrote it, the time period that they wrote it, and who it was written to. And then you will understand. The last thing I'm going to show you is to piggyback on that. Get you a chart that shows you the groupings of the books of the Bible. Okay? So you will know what the book that you're reading in, what the major theme is of that Bible, of that book. You see this? The Pentateuch, the laws of Moses, that is law. So you're reading there, God establishing his law. All of these books is books of history of the Old Testament. Know that you're reading history. He's not establishing the law. This is the history. The poetry books, the prophet books, or the books of prophecy is listed here. You got major and minor. Not that one was more important than the other. Don't think about it that way. Think about, is more written about the five major prophets than the 12 minor prophets. That's how I want you to think about it. The most important being, we know, Isaiah. So those are the things I wanted to bring to your remembrance. I've already talked about the books of the, already talked about the cycle of Judges. So that will conclude our session.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.